Welcome back to another edition of the Soccer Specialist Podcast. Thanks so much for joining. Really do appreciate it. So I wanted to get to a couple of things today. This first topic here is based on, I see similar questions by parents on this topic about, you know, having bad seasons, you know, not winning games or getting blown out, going to a tournament and you know, getting blown out, and how you as a player handle that. And how you as a parent help handle that. And then also another thing that made me sure I wanted to tackle this now was watching the U.S. Trinidad game last night with a very interesting bit in that game that you may already be aware of, but we'll talk about that in a bit. So first I wanted to start out with a story about my team. This goes back a number of years. You may have heard me talk about this a little bit in the past, but I just think it's a good story for a few reasons that we'll get into. So at U11, it might have been U12, we had lost a couple of good players. We were a B team at the time, right? So we lost a couple of good players, and we also, because of our season before, we moved up in terms of competition level. And so going into that point, we had never had a losing season. We gave up very, very few goals. We were always competitive. And I don't mean, you know, we're undefeated or blowing people out. But our typical season, you know, we'd be like, you know, 5-2-2 or, you know, 3-4-3 or what have you. And all our games were pretty close. And we didn't give up a lot of goals either. Usually, you know, 8-12 for a season of 9 or 10 games. So we're starting off a new season. We're in a 6-team league, so we're able to play, you know, 10 games, each team twice. So the first go-round, when the first half of the season was over, we were 0-5. We had given up 20 goals, which is like far more than we give up in a season. I think we never scored more than a goal in a game. I think we scored one in each game, usually late. You know, it's like we're down 4 or 5-0 and we score a goal. So it was completely unlike anything they'd experienced at this point. About the time of the halfway point, we also played in our own tournament where at the last minute, in order to allow another team to come into the tournament and win games, our club moved us up, right? At a time where I would not have argued against being down in order to give the girls some wins just for confidence sake, right? Not to be like, oh, look, we won a title in a group we shouldn't be playing in, but more like to play to our level because we were kind of playing above our level at this point. But no, at the last minute, we got moved up, so we also lost another 3 games in our tournament. And just to give you an idea of how things were going, we lost one against a team we really didn't like. Good team, very dirty team. We lost by a goal because the referee allowed a team to play a free kick 20 yards upfield from where it should have been, but that's a story for another day. Anyway, as you can, in terms of results, right, things were not going well for us. But here's my point is, and why, you know, I point to the season as something I'm really proud of despite how it went in terms of results is the girls' effort never slacked off, right? They didn't get frustrated. I mean, they didn't like it, don't get me wrong, but they turned that into good things, right? They didn't slack off in practice. They didn't give up in games. They didn't develop bad attitudes and be like, oh, well, why should we be trying? Why should we be practicing? Why should we be working hard because we keep losing? So the second 5 games, we only give up 9 goals as opposed to 20 the first time around. Okay. In addition, we picked up a win. I think it was game 8, only win of the season. They went 1-9. They beat the team that won the conference that I think lost one other game that season. I think, you know, they were like 7-2-1 or 8-2, something like that. So which was huge. And I got to tell you, they had some big wins over the years. You know, tournament titles, league titles. You know, beaten rivals. Beaten top teams whose parents were yelling lots of things because they couldn't believe they were losing to us. But I don't know if I've ever seen them happier than that win after the way the season had started. I mean, you know, it was, and it was so much fun to see. And it came about because of the way they handled it. And I will say that is one thing throughout the years that I absolutely loved about the girls that I coached, is how they handled adversity. You know, they played games with nine players and played extremely well. They played a 7v7 game with four players. So, right, so on the field, it was 6v3. You know, they've had very difficult challenges, and the way they handled it and conducted themselves was absolutely fantastic. Right, in every season, every team's going to encounter some adversity. Every player is going to face challenges. And how you deal with that is just so, so important. And like I said, my girls were amazing in how they handled it. And one of the things they recognized too, and because we constantly had conversation, I mean, you do when you win or lose, but especially when a season gets like that, I think it's even more important as a coach to have conversations with players about, you know, how they're seeing their things, how they're feeling, you know, keeping them focused on the right things. And one of the things that the girls really understood in going through that was how much you can learn when you lose. And the fact that you may make the same mistakes in games you win, but you don't learn and get better from it because you ignore those mistakes because you just won. So you're not thinking about how I, you know, this one thing that I did wrong, and I should have done this, and we can learn and grow as a team going forward because, again, you won. And you know what? It's human nature. It's true of coaches too, to a degree. They don't necessarily think about when the game's over and you've won, all those mistakes you were noticing kind of go out the window. Right. So one of the things I want to talk about too is it adding to this is last night on an individual level. For those who didn't see the U.S. Trinidad game, Des, the outside, outside back, he didn't like, well, I shouldn't say he didn't like a call that was just on whether a ball was out of bounds or not. I think that was kind of the final straw for him because of other calls happening in the game. But what happened was exactly the type of reaction that you can't have. With about 6-7 minutes to go in the first half, a ball was called out of bounds that he thought he kept in, and he lost it. He was complaining to the referee. He got a yellow card. He had teammates that were not just pushing him away to not get a card, but teammates weren't complaining to the referee. They were yelling at Des. This is how bad it was. They were yelling at him because of his over-the-top selfish behavior, because he didn't care about anything but himself in that moment. And he got another yellow, so within like a minute of the first one, and tossed out of the game. So they played the rest of the game 11-10. 4 minutes later, Trinidad scored the goal to tie it up 1-1, scored another goal in the second half, and the U.S. lost 2-1. And this, right, this is the type of thing that you absolutely cannot happen. I get how things can be very difficult at times. You may not be getting calls. The other team may be playing dirty. You may be having a losing season, but you need to control how you react to that so you can take something positive from it and you become a better player. What if you reacted the same way Des did in you know, a college showcase tournament, right? You've got college coaches there from places you would love to play, and that's their experience with you as a player. I guarantee you they're going to go find other players who are just as good, or maybe even not quite as good, but they love the attitude. And you may be the greatest kid in the world, but you allowed that moment to get to you, and you destroyed everything you worked for over the years to play college ball, and it's all gone in an emotional reaction. Right? So what I want you to think about is, you know, do you complain when you've been knocked down, figuratively as well as literally, right? Do you make excuses for bad performance? Is it always someone else's fault? You know, or do you react in a positive way so that you can use it as fuel, that you can learn from it, that you can use it to work harder, smarter, to get better, to eliminate those those situations? Do you learn from that adversity? And the way I mentioned that my team understood that, hey, we're losing, so these mistakes really matter. We got to see what types of mistakes we're making. What can we do to get better so that they're not happening, so that the end result for games for us can be better than what they've been? Because I guarantee you anyone's achieved success in anything is going to overcome obstacles along the way. You have to expect them, accept them, get to deal with them. You got to brush yourself off, and you got to get ready for the next opportunity. Okay, so commit yourself to doing your very best. Do everything that you need to do to the best of your ability. It doesn't matter, mean you're always going to play your best, but the effort to play your best needs to be there, right? Set high standards for yourself and how you focus and your effort on during games and practices. Be a good example for your teammates, because even you as players, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old, recognize as well being associated with people that put in 100% effort. Ultimately, a lot of it comes down to a very popular saying about how it's not what happens to you. It's about how you react what happens to you. And death is a great example of reacting in the absolute wrong way. My team over a season of adversity is a great example of reacting the right way, because you can't always control what happens to you, but you have complete control over how you react to what happens to you, you know, and death threw that completely out the window. And as I said, my girls were absolutely amazing in how they handled that season and other instances, which I'll get to about another time. But this is rolling on a little more than I was hoping, so I really did want to get to the five ball challenge that I had mentioned. And I'm doing this podcast on Tuesday the 21st, so you've got the long weekend coming up. Maybe this is something you can do this weekend. Get started, see how you do with it. And basically, the five ball juggling challenge. You have five balls to juggle, all different sizes. I usually go 5-4-3 training ball, which is usually a 2 or 1, and a tennis ball. Maybe you don't have all those, but see if you can find something else that might work as well, or if you only have four that you can use, right? Maybe you get a racquetball or a golf ball or something that's different in there, but try and get five different size balls you can use for juggling. And then you start with the size 5 and you work your way down to the tennis ball. Now, I always say start to get 6 juggles with your feet with each ball. So you get 6 with the 5 and then move down. Depending on your level, you might want to start with 10 or 15 or 20. Because the other thing, too, is you don't have to get them all and start over. You're juggling for time. And here's what I mean. The rules are simple. Start from the ground. I always say except for the tennis ball, because that's difficult for a lot of players. And again, if you're younger or you're just getting into juggling, start with the ball in your hand. First, okay, and then you can work your way up to the difficulty level of starting on the ground for each one. Now, here's the key. Also, you don't have to get 6 juggles in a row, or if you're doing 10, you don't have to get 10 in a row without the ball hitting the ground. Let's say you get 3 and then it hits the ground. The next number is 4. However, you get time penalties, right? So we count the number of times it hits the ground, and you get 5 seconds to add it for each time that it does drop. So, for example, let's say you do 6 juggles with each ball, and that takes you 45 seconds to get them all. But the ball, in total, while you're doing that, they hit the ground 9 times. Each penalty is 5 seconds, so that's another 45 seconds, right? 9 times 5. So that gives you a total of 1 minute and 30 seconds. 45 seconds from start to finish plus the 45 seconds of penalties equals 90 seconds. So, and the key of this, of course, is do it as many times as you want. Try and beat your best time. And then over time, you make it more difficult, like I said, by adding more juggles to it. You may be at a point on that. Well, maybe it might even be, if you're one of those crazy kids who's juggling all the time, right, and you're getting in the hundreds or more, maybe you do 20 per ball. And so once you get all of it without any balls touching the ground, right? No time penalties. You can see if you can squeeze a little more time out of it. But then the other option, of course, is add number of juggles to it and go back to where maybe you can't get it perfect. And so you're trying to both be faster, but also eliminate the time penalties. So you're improving that way as well. And the great thing is, it's a simple thing to do. You can challenge your teammates. You can have it all, you know, ongoing for the season. You could even make a tournament. Let's say you've got 12 players on your team and you go head to head, right? So you've got six quote unquote games, and then those winners advance and those winners advance until you have a champion, right? So have some fun with it. It's one of those things you can do that's a lot of fun, and you don't necessarily realize that all of a sudden you've spent 3 hours doing this and gotten thousands and thousands and thousands of touches on the ball. So, and again, if you get to the point where you do it flawlessly, where you don't have any drops through all five balls, up the juggling number. Maybe you're one of that started with six and you go to 10. Maybe it's 20. Maybe it's 40, right, or 50. But give it a shot. Let me know how it goes as well. You can always reach out to me in the Facebook group or the soccerspecialist9@gmail.com also. And definitely let me know how you're doing. One thing, last thing I do want to mention, because this might be the only podcast that I mentioned on, the only episode. Maybe I'll get one more in next week, but currently running a really awesome holiday deal. Just launched an Impact Soccer system, which is a new monthly program each month. So what I'm doing is I'm combining that and the Soccer Parent Lifestyle magazine, for those who might know the Soccer Parent Lifestyle as well. So what you can get is an entire year of Impact Soccer System. So you get 12 monthly programs and 12 issues of the Soccer Parent Lifestyle magazine for less than the cost of one of the programs, right? The magazine, I contribute to it. I can tell you, so I've seen, you know, the issues and who the other contributors are. It's a fantastic resource for the parents. Impact Soccer System is perfect for the player. If you have any interest at all in something like this, go check it out. ImpactSoccerPerformance.com/holiday. And like I said, Impact Soccer System means a new ball control program every month. I think there's like the 12 months that you're getting, there's like 70 videos. You get five or six new ones each month. Each one contains 9 to 12 ball control patterns. You get a monthly like calendar that shows you do, you know, video one on this day, video two on this day, et cetera, through the month. So, you know, you can quickly and easily improve your ball control and level up your entire game in as little as 10 minutes a day. There's also a ball on a wall video program, a bodyweight agility program. It's just lots of stuff. Go check it out, ImpactSoccerPerformance.com/holiday. Once again, hey, definitely give that five ball juggling challenge a try. I'd really love to hear from people how they do with it. It's a lot of fun. It's got that competitive element in it as well. I think you really enjoy it. I'm going to leave it there for now. Enjoy your Thanksgiving and your holiday, long holiday weekend, and I will talk to you later.